The following is a presentation of GalacticNetcasts.com.
By your command.
Felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
Who built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Exterminate!
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
You live in a spaceship, dear.
Hear ye! Hear ye! I'm Dave Nelson, and on this 10th day of December 2014, I call to order this, the 33rd meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club from GalacticNetcasts.com. Put on your membership pin, give the secret handshake to one another, and let's begin. We don't have a guest this week, and we're out one of the normal co-hosts. So all we have with us this evening, or this afternoon, or this morning, whenever you may be listening or watching this, is Brad Ludwig and Matt Stein. How you guys doing?
Pretty darn good.
Matt, your answer, please.
I can't really complain.
How's the weather? Hey, how's the weather in Wisconsin? We didn't talk about that on the last podcast.
Right now, it's actually, we're going to get into the 30s and 40s. I mean, at night it's in the teens, the upper teens. But some people are saying we might even not have a white Christmas here.
Oh, wow.
We're supposed to have an above average December for warmth, and I am okay with that.
See,
that
here,
just means we're going to get crapped on later in the year. That's all.
Here it's been cold, and it's going to be cold through December. And we were supposed to get a drier December, but we're in the middle of a huge winter storm right now, so that may change.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Is it cold with a side of poutine?
Yes.
And maple syrup?
We always have a side of poutine and maple syrup. Don't you know that?
I knew it.
I put my toque on. We're good to go with everything Canadian. All right. So welcome to our weekly discussion of everything sci-fi. And we always start the show after we usually introduce our guest, which we don't have this week. The second thing that we do is give you guys a hypothetical question. These are questions that kind of pertain to sci-fi or something related to sci-fi. So here you go. You ready for this?
Yes.
Okay.
15 years from now, what one futuristic piece of technology that we've seen on sci-fi movies and TV shows would you like to see us actually have finally? Before you answer, I was going to put the caveat of don't mention anything Back to the Future because that's been covered to death. But go ahead, if you want.
What the crap?
Because, you know, when you think about it, like, Back to the Future has...
not the shoes or hoverboards?
Okay, what else is left if not the shoes or hoverboards?
Back to the Future 2 when they're at the house, and they put the small Pizza Hut pizza in, the hydrating machine, and it pops out a big, full cooked pizza in, 10 seconds.
Oh, okay.
I think it was, 2 seconds.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. Yes. Feel free to use Back to the Future stuff, then.
Well, I just did. That was my answer.
Well, that's your official answer.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to use as an answer.
Okay, 15 years from now, you don't want amazing alternative sources of energy. You don't want cool transportation systems, maybe a levitating train that goes 1,000 miles an hour. You want a pizza that goes from a small thing to a big thing.
Yeah, and I want instant pizza.
Okay, all right. We all have our priorities. I can understand that being a pizza lover myself, definitely.
Yep.
All right, 15 years from now, Brad, something that we've seen a number of times in science fiction movies and TV shows that you want, actual reality, what is it?
Boy, going to have to go with something within the last 15 years?
No, something in 15 years, 15 years in the future.
Oh, gotcha. You know, I'm going to have to go with... You know what would be awesome is to, in the Fifth Element, being able to get in a cab that flies and, you know, doesn't have to worry about traffic or whatever, can just get you to where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it would cost a lot to take. But
so you want a driving, flying, a self-driving flying car.
Or something that, you know, Well, I mean, that was Bruce Willis's character's job, was he was a cabbie.
Oh, that's right.
So
yeah, yeah.
It was flown by a person, so it would definitely have manual control and an intelligent being behind the wheel. Yeah, flying car.
Okay. See, I'm going to go with self-driving car, just because I think that's something that's actually going to happen within 15 years. Like, because there's so much technology. I mean, they have it pretty much down. Like, Google's pretty much got it down. They just have to get, like, the infrastructure built and the regulations passed and that kind of thing. And Ford is working on a lot of cool, like, self-driving stuff. So I think self-driving cars, if you want to see something that has a good chance of actually being a reality that we've seen in science fiction movies, self-driving car is the thing to choose, in my opinion.
All right.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I'd love to see transporter beams, but I know that's not going to happen. Did you guys?
I mean, I just want an instant pizza, but, you know, whatever.
Speaking of future technology, did you guys see the test firing of the laser by the U.S. Navy?
No.
I saw the story, but I did not actually read it.
No, I saw the story, and they had a video that went along with it. And they actually destroyed, they had a small target on a boat, and the laser, like, destroyed the small target without destroying anything around anything else on the boat. Just a very, very small
nice.
Target. It hit the small target, destroyed it, and then they launched a drone, and the drone didn't blow up, but it, like, got hit and then fell. So it looks like it's very, like, precision. It's not just, like, it hit something and then it blows up. It just basically cripples it, and it's no longer of use.
Wow.
Yep, that's where we're at. Huh. Lasers, laser beams, phasers, Star Trek, bam.
That's crazy.
All right, you guys ready to talk about science fiction?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thought we were here to talk about sports.
Oh, that's right. This is a sports podcast. Sports ball.
What? Boo.
What's going on?
I'm out.
What's going on in the world of sports ball this week? Matt?
Go sports team. Do the thing. Make the touchdown. Win the game.
All right. So science fiction. We begin each show by running down some quick stories that we're not going to really get too much into, but we'll talk about it a little bit. They're called Sci-Fi Bites. Sci-Fi, DC, and David Goyer developing the Superman prequel series set on Krypton. Brad, how do you feel about this?
No.
Okay, I'm going to give you two words, and you pick one of them, a yay or meh.
See, that's doing the extremes, and I'm not sure that's the way to go. I think that the issue that I'm having with Gotham right now, and I'm behind, is it feels like they're trying to tell Bruce's story peripherally, and I guess you kind of have to have it be a Batman universe thing, but it's really Jim Gordon's story, and I really wish they'd stop screwing it up with peripheral crap that they don't need to. And I'm kind of worried that that's what may happen with Krypton. The backstory to Krypton and all that stuff that has come out in like the comics, it's fascinating, and you could definitely do something Game of Thrones-esque with the House of El and some of the other houses. So I think that there's a great deal of potential if handled correctly, and it doesn't, it's going to center around the House of El. It has to.
From the description, that's what it sounds like. It's kind of like they're like regaining power that they lost, sort of.
But it better not be like Cal is born, you know, and he's there. I mean, the whole thing with him is he was supposed to have been just, like, recently born, and they launch him out into space because Krypton is dying. You know, I think that's the thing that's going to get me angry more than anything else, is looking at the story and the whole setup of Krypton dying is everybody with their heads in the sand saying, nope, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. And how similar it sounds to climate change on Earth.
Yep, I was thinking the same thing too.
I have the feeling I'm going to be shouting at my television like some people would be shouting at watching a sports, you know, a football game.
so you don't want them to use that as kind of a platform to make awareness for people about climate change through a fictional
setting. The parallels are so glaringly similar that I hope it focuses on that. I hope it focuses on the politics of Krypton. I hope it follows the House of El and tells some of the history, but there better not be a damn Kal-El in that movie or
okay.
in that show.
Okay,
period.
Can I?
Well, can't be.
Let me run down the description that this article gave. Okay, it comes from Blaster.com. Krypton takes place years before the Superman legend we know. When the House of El was shamed and ostracized, this drama, which is in development, follows the Man of Steel's grandfather as he brings hope and equality to Krypton. So it sounds like it's taking place way before Kal-El is born.
Okay.
Turning a planet in disarray into one worthy of giving birth to the greatest superhero ever known. And it's got some great people involved, too. It's got, if you like Man of Steel, David Goyer, who is also involved in Constantine as the producer of the series. And then it's being written by Ian Goldberg, which he writes for Once Upon a Time. And that's a hugely popular show. So it's got potential, that's for sure.
I would give it a watch just to see what's going on.
If you know what? They've got a really good chance of making this kind of a house... I was about to say House of Cards. No. Game of Thrones in space. Kind of like a science fiction version of Game of Thrones, sort of. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For reals.
Okay. Moving on with the sci-fi bites. Warner Brothers offers director's job for Ready Player One to Christopher Nolan. How do we feel about that? Have we read the book, you guys?
I have.
It's on my list.
I thoroughly enjoyed that book. Which is saying a lot, because I don't like reading.
This is very true.
but I can see why you would like it, because it involves gaming, which you are a big gamer. And
I also listened to it on tape while driving, mostly to and from Minnesota.
Okay, yeah, I listened to the audiobook too, and it was done by
Will Wheaton.
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah, I like him. He did the audiobook for Locken also.
Lock-in? What's lock-in?
Lock-in.
Oh, lock-in.
Two words.
Okay.
John Scalzi.
I couldn't think of his name, but yeah, we were talking about it on an earlier podcast.
Oh, yeah,
months ago.
Got it. I'm with you. I'm on the same page. Sorry. I was a couple pages back, but I'm with you again. Okay. So,
you're good now.
How do you guys feel about Mr. Christopher Nolan tackling this as the director?
I don't want to get into this like, oh, Christopher Nolan's really good at doing this because he did this, and this is why I think you should do this. Just don't screw it up. I stopped myself from saying the F word there.
Thank you.
Don't
appreciate
screw it up.
That.
That's all I say. I don't care who's doing it. Just don't screw it up, because I think it could be a really cool movie.
Well, they do have some obstacles that they have to get over. Apparently, according to the writer Zach Penn, the music licensing is a big hurdle that they've had to work around. And they've had to take huge liberties in the adaptation of the book, apparently.
Well, Dave, have you read it?
Yes.
I know the concepts of it, and I know that it's a lot of 80s stuff is in it. So
Yes, and towards the end it gets to be really focused on Rush, the band Rush.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing that came to mind, but I'm assuming all of the pop culture references will make it a potential nightmare. But I think without all those pop culture references, it kind of loses what makes it super cool, because I remember when I was listening to it, and there's like, oh yeah, this is really this because of this. It was like, that's super cool. Like, yeah, I mean, I was born in the middle of the 80s, but I still get a lot of 80s references.
I wonder, though, Warner Brothers, what they own. I wonder if they could like make substitutions for certain things in the book so they don't have to worry about licensing the stuff that's actually in the book.
I mean... I don't know. I feel like they almost have to license it.
Okay.
It would reach its full potential if they just licensed it.
Okay. Well, depending on how much money they're willing to spend, I guess that's the key right there, is actually ponying up the money and buying the rights. I guess we'll see.
I mean, they could just not spend $80 billion and make another freaking Avatar movie and put it towards this. I'd be happy.
Or don't hire a big director like Christopher Nolan, use that, you know, buy an up-and-coming director or hire an up-and-coming director and use the money they saved on the rights to the video games and music, you know?
Yeah,
it's one possibility.
True.
All right. Huge mid-season finales of The Flash and Marvel's of S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel's Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Last night, we're recording this on Wednesday, the 10th, and those season finales or mid-season finales are were last night when we're recording this. And Brad's a big fan of both those shows, hasn't seen either of those episodes yet. And Matt, not a watcher of either The Flash or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Correct.
Okay. Matt, you've got a while. You've got plenty of time to catch up on both The Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't come back until March or April, right, Brad?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get right on that, right next to watching Avatar again.
You know, did you watch the Captain America, the second Captain America film?
No, not because I don't want to. I just, it hasn't been a priority. I wanted to see like things like Dumb and Dumber 2 first.
Oh my God! I just spit up. Sorry.
I didn't say Dumb and Dumber 2 was better than the second Avengers. I haven't seen.
At least you didn't say Dumb and Dumberer.
You know, this is not the podcast to get into this, but I think Dumb and Dumberer was better than Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh wow! Holy crap! Okay.
Ouch.
Yeah, that stings. Anyways, Brad, what are you gonna say?
Yeah. No. If you like spy thrillers and stuff, I mean, do you like James Bond? Do you like
some of them? I mean, I like certain aspects of it, but you know what, Brad? Just for you, I will add it to my DVR.
Yay!
Now, the thing that I want you to you can watch it on. You can watch the first season on Netflix.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
The full first season is on Netflix. What you need to do, though, is you need to watch like the first 6 episodes. They're a little painful. And the reason why they're a little painful is that they couldn't do too much before the Captain America movie kicked off.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And then the pace like really kicks up, and by the end of the season, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that!
Because they all the TV show and the Marvel movies all take place in the same universe, so they were kind of waiting on
them. All related.
Yeah, yep.
Completely. So, like this, when they started the second season, it's freaking ridiculous. I mean, the pace, the storytelling, everything is really good. But I'm telling you, you need to kind of slog through those first like 6 episodes or so, then watch the Captain America movie, the second Captain America movie, and then watch the rest of that season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And the Captain America movie, I think is still on Netflix. I think if not, it's fallen off the back of the internet, so you can find it.
This is probably the part. Oh no, I can't. I don't think I saw it. It was the Winter Soldier, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Who was the bad guy?
Robert Redford.
No, what was the character?
One of the main bad guys was the Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then I haven't seen it. This is how terrible I am at sci-fi. I apologize to everyone who probably just collectively shook their head.
Well, I mean, you like enough stuff
like
to have credibility on this show. You can't like everything. You can't, you know, watch everything.
No, that's true. The movie that came to mind was I think it was the first one where Red Foreman was the bad guy.
Red Foreman?
Does he make the grills?
No, it's George Foreman.
Oh, sorry.
Red Foreman was in that 70s show?
Oh.
No. No, the bad guy was Agent Smith.
What is his name?
Yeah, I know. It's killing me.
Red Foreman's real name is Kurtwood Smith, by the way.
Hugo Weaving plays the Red Skull.
Red Skull, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's apparently not Red Foreman.
No, it's not Red Foreman, but I'll give you points for coming close and using the word red.
I kind of knew what he was talking about. I kind of had a feeling that he was trying to get to that whole Red Skull thing with Red Foreman.
I really thought it was Kurtwood Smith. Apparently not.
All right. No, Matt, if you like karate chop, like martial arts fighting, you will love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They do a lot of that.
I mean, I'll definitely check it out. I'm working from home on Friday, waiting for my giant TV to show up, so I will probably watch a bunch then.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
Report back next time. All right, so
yes, Dan.
We have one more sci-fi bite here. Why George Lucas hasn't watched the Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer yet. Any guesses without looking on the document?
Because he's sad and jealous.
Sad and lonely?
I was going to say because he's a bitch, but we can go with sad and jealous. And I don't even care.
Those are all incorrect answers. It's because he doesn't like to watch trailers. He likes to watch the movies first time all the way through. That's the reason.
Seems legit.
Yeah, he was asked by Page Six from the New York Post if he's seen it. He said, "No, I don't know anything about it. I haven't seen it yet." When asked further why he hadn't seen the clip, he explained, "Because it's not in the movie theater. I like going to movies and watching the whole thing there. I plan to see it when it's released," Lucas explained. So there you go.
I guess.
I know you guys were dying to find out if he had seen the trailer yet or not. Now you know.
You know, I can sleep now. Knowing.
I was just going to say that, and you beat me to it.
All right, so let's move into discussion stories. And as he always is, first in the order, Matt, get us into it.
The costume designer, Susan Matheson, for the new Terminator movie, called Nike and said, "Stop what you're doing and make me some shoes, damn it." She actually didn't say those exact words. But what she did say, she is a sneaker person and she knows the base of every single shoe. So she made Nike make the original Nikes that were worn in the original Terminator movie because she didn't want people to see any other Nike being used, which sounds really crazy, but this is her explanation. It says, "I'm a sneaker person and I know the every single base of every sneaker. The Air Force One base is not the same as a Nike Vandal. So I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I need you to make me the real sneaker. Everybody watching this movie is going to know if that's the real sneaker or the non-real sneaker." That is not only impressive and super nerdy, but that takes balls to call like a multi-million dollar worldwide shoe company and be like, "You need to do this for me right now."
Well, I'm sure they have plenty of money in the budget. Sorry, Brad.
Oh, I'm sure there's more backing than just this lady called up and said, "Hey, do this." It is the Terminator franchise. It's not like it's, you know, John Bob's sci-fi basement film.
Look at it this way. If they've recreated this one shoe, right, and they've done it recently, they could probably do it again. So theoretically, if this movie were to take off and actually be really good, they can sell the shoe as a limited edition and make a buttload of money.
The shoe is not horrible looking.
No, it's not.
It's a good looking shoe.
If it wasn't
like
a high top, I would probably buy it. It's just like a denim pair of sneakers, but it's a weird high top, so I will not wear them.
I would buy those in a heartbeat. I would buy them.
What character?
Really?
What character wears those?
If they were $100 a pair, no. But I would buy them. Yeah.
The shoe wore by Kyle Reese.
Kyle Reese. I was gonna say Kyle Reese. Okay. And Nike, as I read the story myself, Nike tried to give them kind of a Frankenstein shoe, like a shoe that kind of looked like it from other shoes. Is that the story?
Yep. Yep. And that's why she said, "Nope, I need you to make."
Yep. The dump truck filled with cash and said, "Hell no!
Right,
make me the shoes."
But and that's what makes, I don't know. That's what makes it kind of cool, because she proves a valid point. If they got a Frankenstein shoe, someone would see the movie and be like, "Well, that's not the original shoe. That's like a bastard child version of the shoe."
Considering how much time and care, you watch that trailer. The guy that's playing the T-1000 character looks a lot. Mm-hmm. Like the original actor, I always
Robert Patrick.
So Neil Patrick Harris starts coming into my head. It's just like what Matt did. I start jumbling.
Well, I always think of his brother, the lead singer of Filter. His last name's Patrick as well. I forget his first name, though.
Yeah. Yep. So that actor looks a lot like Robert Patrick. You look at the actress that is playing Sarah Connor looks like a very young Linda Hamilton. So they're really kind of taking the time and care to make specific nods to the original movie and to Terminator 2, obviously, if we've got Robert Patrick there. They're taking the time and care to try to make a good movie. I've got to believe that there's probably a lot of money riding on this. They're aiming for it to be a summer blockbuster. they're going to do everything they can to get nerds on board. They have to. So spending a little bit of extra cash to make a shoe that is pretty much like the original shoe is not outside of the realm of what is considered sane for this production. So,
and they're relaunching the franchise. This is pretty much a relaunch of the Terminator franchise, so they want to do it right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's pinned on the shoes. It's a make or break thing. It's got to have the right shoes.
Well, it's a testament to how they refuse to half-ass anything, which is kind of like what Brad said. You know, even the actors and the actresses that they picked out somewhat resemble the original cast of the first movie. So they're really trying to do it right, at least from an outward facing, you know, the way that we perceive it, they're trying to. So I mean, that's kind of cool. And it's got Schwarzenegger in it, so.
Which I still want to know. Chubby. I still want to know his deal. Right, like, right. How can his Terminator age? I want to know the story behind that. Like, my theory is that he's actually a human being.
They kind of set it up in earlier films. He's human flesh over metal endoskeleton.
Okay.
So that's how they played in him aging.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Fair enough.
Yeah. He has the actual human organic flesh.
Yes.
And what we know, what's been put out there is the Arnold Schwarzenegger and wackiness ensues.
They're going to play rickety sax and people are going to run through hallways like in Scooby-Doo cartoons.
Yep. Sure.
Ruh-roh.
Why not? All right, cool. Attention to detail. That's very important. Let's move on to the second story in the discussion story segment. And Brad, you got something Doctor Who related. So Matt, you can go to sleep.
You're going to turn off your headset right now, aren't you?
Yep.
Somebody from the Den of Geek to come and interview Don Starkey, who does the character Strax, the Santaran. He's also co-opted to play the other Santarans, and that works because the Santarans are essentially a cloned race. They're a race of cloned warriors based off of the one original copy, essentially. And so they use the same actor to do that, which makes perfect sense. But so this interview took place in October. That's a thing to keep in mind as we discuss this. So we are now in December, and this Doctor Who Christmas special is happening on the 25th, so in 15 days, so just a shade over 2 weeks at the point in time that we're making this recording. So in the process of sitting down, they wanted to talk about, first off, the good fortune that this actor has had to now be in. This is his third Christmas special that he's going to be in. So the interesting things to note here is that obviously Dan Starkey can't give away a whole lot in this video or in this interview. But one of the things that was really kind of interesting is him talking about, he gets asked if the Christmas episode plays into the season 8, which is Peter Capaldi's, you know, his inaugural series, if it deals closely with the previous season that we've watched, or if it's like a one-off thing. And it seems like they really compartmentalized things. They're keeping a lot of secrets on this particular episode. And the big thing that people are asking right now is Jenna Coleman going to ninth season and interview other scripts. And of course this is recorded in October, but this almost seemed like an avenue that Den of Geek wanted to exploit to see if they could get a scoop on everybody else to see if they could find out something really cool and interesting and different about this. And they kind of get blocked. But we do find out a little bit about the characters. Nick Frost from the Coronado series, so Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, The End of the World, and a number of other films. I saw Cuban Fury. If you get the chance, see the movie Cuban Fury for Nick Frost, because it's absolutely hilarious.
Okay.
Well done, film. Do we still have Dave?
Yeah, I'm
Dave
here.
Is there? Okay, good. I thought something happened. But Nick Frost is playing the character of Santa, and Santa seems to be a very kind of shady character. You're not sure if he's good. You're not sure if he's bad. But he's got these two elf sidekick sort of beings. And the other thing to note is the BBC really believes in Doctor Who, and obviously, you know, it's become an international phenomenon. The costumes that, if you are a Who fan and you're going to watch this, the costumes that they made for the elves, totally handmade, finely crafted, down to the shoes. You know, they've got like the little curly, pointy-toed shoes and everything. They made these amazing costumes, and that's the one thing that Dan Starkey really kind of was impressed with. You know, the other thing too is he keeps getting asked if there's going to be a Paternoster Gang spinoff, and the Paternoster Gang is Strax, Jenny, and Lady Vastra, three characters that have appeared a number of times in the Matt Smith era. And they have Doctor Who,
and they have great chemistry, those three together. And then they were on the pilot episode of this season, the introduction of Peter Capaldi as well.
Yes. So, and Lady Vastra essentially is Sherlock Holmes. It's just really, really kind of fascinating the way they've structured that whole thing, and knowing how big of Sherlock Holmes fans that. Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss are, because they work on Sherlock. It's just a wonderful touch, because again, these are Lady Vastra is from an alien race, reptilian race that actually colonized Earth first. And Strax is an alien from the Santaran race, yet they're kind of stuck in Victorian era England. With Jenny, who is actually a native of that time period and of England. And they're just such an interesting group of three people that, yeah, I really think that they could do maybe not a whole series, but like a six episode sort of spin-offs or three episode spin-offs of, you know, just telling stories that kind of happen in and around the Hooniverse, as it were.
I'm surprised that they haven't used them for like webisodes, but you know, between seasons or between, you know, sometimes the BBC or whoever will do webisodes, you know, strictly web only, you know, mini episodes, and that'd be perfect for that kind of thing.
I'm sure that Daryl, one of our listeners, the UK Gnome, would be able to correct us on this, but I really think that Strax, I want to say that they did some kind of, they did some kind of mini episodes that led into, I think, Matt Smith's last season.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. They had Rory and Amy and were the Ood in the loo. Yeah, that's right. Yes. That's what it was.
Yes, yes.
So they have done it in the past. So yeah, it would be cool to see them do little spin-off short webisodes of stuff. I think that'd be really cool. But again, they're so well. Sherlock has kind of been benched with Martin Freeman's success and doing the Hobbit films and whatnot. And
Cumberbatch, Jesus.
And Cumberbatch, good lord, that man is. Well, now he's Doctor Strange for Marvel, so he's as busy as a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest at this point. So
I never thought I'd hear that saying tonight. Wasn't prepared for that.
Anyways, I've kind of gone on about this. You can check out the show notes. There'll be the link to the Den of Geek interview with Dan Starkey, and it's a short read, but it's got some wonderful bits and pieces about the Strax character. There's a lot of makeup that he puts on and him talking about that and his feelings on being in Who and what that means and some little bits of inside information and little hints and clues into what's happening with the Christmas special for this year. So
cool.
Check it out.
All right. Refresh my memory. How did they get stuck back in that time period? Those three? Well, those two, I guess.
You know, That's a good question. I don't remember, actually. I'd have to look that up on the interwebs. Lady Vastra, like I said, she's a part of that ancient race of, I want to say Silurians, but that's not right.
Well, they've been on other adventures where they were not there. I remember them. Yeah. What was the one where? Oh, I forget.
Well, they were in Good Man Goes to War.
Yes, that's the one I was trying to think of. Correct.
Which, yeah, they get pulled way into the future at that point. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's definitely an article that everybody should check out, especially if you are a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
All right. Final discussion story of this episode. Marvel really did contact Sony about a Spider-Man crossover with the Avengers. How awesome would that be? And it turns there's been rumors going around for a long time now that they were actually, that was a possibility. And courtesy of the big Sony hack that went on a couple weeks ago, or whenever it was, I forget, a lot of information has come out that's been leaked from that hack. And one of the things is that Disney/Marvel and Sony were in contacts about Sony lending out the character, or I'll just read exactly what it says. There have been rumors that Sony could be open to connecting Spider-Man to Marvel's Avengers franchise. And of course, according to that hack, the information's now out there that it actually was a possibility for a while. According to the Wall Street Journal, emails including the included in the leak confirm extensive discussions between executives at Sony and Disney, which owns Marvel, that reach all the way to the CEO level. So you had the big shots talking about this, going back and forth, discussing the possibility. An October 30th email from Sony Pictures President Doug Belgrad, to Sony Motion... What?
Belgrad?
Oh, Belgrad. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Like the city, right? No.
Yeah. Well, that's Belgrade.
Belgrade. Okay, so just take out the E and we're good. Doug Belgrad to Sony Motion Picture Chief Amy Pascal. Am I saying that right?
I think so.
Pascal? Okay. Amy Pascal discussed a potential deal that would allow Marvel to produce a new trilogy of Spider-Man films, with Sony retaining creative control, marketing, and distribution throughout the whole process. Another email had Pascal telling a colleague that Marvel inquired about including Spider-Man in the upcoming Captain America sequel Civil War, considering he plays a critical role in the comic version of that story arc. So it makes sense. So, interesting stuff. I read another article, not this one, that they may be revisiting this issue in a couple of months. But that was pre-hack, pre-information spillage on the internet. So we'll see what happens. Sony could do nothing but benefit from that kind of arrangement. It's in my opinion.
Have you seen some of the stuff? And I'm addressing the both of you at this point with the spilled information on the Sony hack.
Well, I've seen a little bit of it. And the other story that was of interest was the 21 Jump Street guys crossing over with the Men in Black films.
Well, the one thing that I read a day or two ago was a leaked PowerPoint presentation that was meant for the financials of for a financial-based meeting within Sony, where basically they're like, "We're out of original ideas. For the love of God, stop giving Adam Sandler money to make things, because we're losing money hand over fist. We need to create original stuff." And to see them kind of double down on some of this stuff, it's really, really kind of stupid. And looking at the second Spider-Man film, which I have refused to watch.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2, let's clarify.
While I like Andrew Garfield, it really felt like there was a level of studio interference, and from what we've seen in leaks and some of the actors, that they had a vision and they went with stuff, and it seemed like Sony's like, oh, we have to make this a blockbuster. We need to shoehorn as much BS as we possibly can into this film to make it so epic that people are going to drop their trousers and throw money at us, whatever dropping your trousers means in this particular case, whatever. Wrong metaphor. Anyways.
That is a weird metaphor to use.
Actually, I think the people that viewed the movie probably felt like they dropped their trousers.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
Uncomfortable things done to them against their will. And Amy Pascal has really kind of been painted as an incompetent villain in this leak, and not just for the Spider-Man stuff, but for an Angelina Jolie Cleopatra film that Sony really didn't want to do, but they kind of had to entertain it. But they had the Steve Jobs movie on the line and all this stuff going on. And you know, looking at this and looking at some of these other things, it's like, I don't know why Amy Pascal has a job with Sony still. And the fact that there's pros and cons, and I think we've discussed this before, with Spider-Man, that universe being with another film company. And I'm sure people are like, you're insane, but look at it this way. If it's handled well and intelligently, we could get different stories from, we don't have to be bogged down. The MCU, the enclosed universe that Marvel has kind of built in the movies is really cool, but it's kind of nice having this sub sort of universe that you can visit as well. It would be cool if there would be sharing between them, but nobody likes to play nice.
Mm-mm.
Because they don't want to dilute the brand. And by that, right now, Sony is known for having Spider-Man. They're the Spider-Man company. And for them to give up control to have them appear in a Marvel Universe movie might not be conducive, at least for their thought, or for somebody's thought at Sony, to dilute the brand and have it be associated with a Marvel film, which is unfortunate because they could cross-promote each other's products and they could all win. They could all benefit if they really, really thought about it, I think, in the right way. The average film goer could give a crap less who owns what character as long as they can see them in a movie where it makes sense for them to be. And in the story of Civil War, Tony Stark essentially talks Peter Parker into revealing, to taking off the mask on TV and revealing that he's been Peter Parker the whole time. And boy, does the train jump off the track soon after that for him. Everything that he thought would happen if he were to reveal his secret identity pretty much happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good. It's not good at all.
You know, it's really too bad that these companies are so, like, money. Well, they have to be money-oriented, but they get blinded by the almighty dollar. When, you know, this is a thing with, like, people that create content on the internet. There's such a thing as being genuine about what you're doing, and another thing when it comes to, you know...
Make it viral! It viral!
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Don't push it. Don't try too hard, okay? Cooperate with these other studios. Like you said, the general public will have no idea... What they don't care who Sony is or who Warner Brothers or whoever Fox Studio, they don't care who the studios are, as long as it's something good and you could really make good products if you joined forces and actually work together.
One of the interesting things, and I really encourage you and everybody that's hearing this to look at some of these leaked things, and this the financial ring about, they talk about the person who is freaking savvy and really knows what's going on, is talking about, you know, we really need to, one, create original content, going back and revisiting old frame. Like he points out Bewitched, the Bewitched movie with Will Ferrell and ex-Mrs. Cruz. Nicole Kidman. That's like 2005. He's like, this was on the list. He had like a short list of six absolute bombs that they made that year. And he's like, you know, we keep going back to the well and trying to dig up old crap that we own and, you know, polishing that turd as hard as we can. And it's not doing us any good. And we have to look to, you know, other things that are going on in the industry, and we can't just pin all our hopes on an epic summer movie. We need to make a number of smaller, good films that people are interested in seeing instead of hoping on a star that we're going to make a boatload of cash on this one film.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like looking at the, I mean, we've complained about this in the past where we're seeing remake after remake after remake, and it's just stupid. There comes a point where you're like, why are you going, make me something new and it's something to be excited about. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of the films that we're seeing that have been well received in the past year or two have been original films.
Mm-hmm. Even Guardians of the Galaxy, which is not really, it's based on a comic, but it's never been on like in, on yeah, film version never, before.
It hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
As a film, to be clear. And it was just like reading this report and going, oh my God, this guy gets it. I'm sure he's going to be fired in a week or two. But, you know, it was just like so refreshing to see this guy is like, oh my God, somebody gets it. And they might actually have the power to do something to change things and to have it be a Sony person. And maybe that's the voice in the wilderness that leads us back to sanity. And maybe we can have something where Spider-Man shows up in something that is kind of a big deal where Peter Parker and Spider-Man should be.
Instead, it sounds like they're going to double down on the Spider-Man yeah. universe, doing sequels with they're trying to avoid putting Spider-Man in the actual sequels. Like there is a Sinister Six spinoff they're working on, a female-led super spinoff, whatever that means, and a something with the Lego Phil Lord. I don't know who that is.
I want to say that they're the ones that worked on the Lego movie.
Oh, yeah. It's right there. It's right there in the story. Thank you, Brad.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even read that part. Yeah.
And a Venom film they're going to work on, too.
Everything is awesome. A Sinister Six spinoff film is absolutely dumb, especially when they – because the one thing that they wanted to do with Spider-Man 2 was to introduce some of the concepts of creating a Sinister Six. And if you got that turd being the base, the basement, the whole pedestal for this thing to stand on, that's kind of silly.
Yep.
And the Sinister Six, it's a group of six villains that really kind of hate each other, and the only thing that they can agree on is that they want to kill Spider-Man. And if Spider-Man's not going to be in it, what's the point?
Yeah, it's kind of dumb. Defeats the purpose, definitely. Okay, this is what I think they should do. They should sell the rights to Spider-Man to Marvel and start making original content. That's what they should do.
Well, I think that really the problems with Spider-Man are kind of a symptom of a greater disease at Sony and probably in the movie industry as a whole. It's a lot of people just going, make it viral. And it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. You come up with a good script, you do the work and make something that's visually appealing, but don't shoehorn as much horse manure as you can into something to try to make it a million times cooler. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, kind of sounds like what DC is trying to do with the future Justice League. The next movie is going to be the Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. And it sounds like they're
waiting for somebody to announce Ralph Dibny is going to be in the DC film, the Superman versus Batman. Nobody knows who Ralph Dibny is except for hardcore nerds like myself. And even I would be going, what are you thinking? Why would you put him in there? That's dumb.
Yeah.
You know, do one thing, do it well, and then expand from there. And if your tentpole for that whole thing was Man of Steel, you might want to rethink that.
Yeah, exactly. Captain Carrot, they're going to include is that Marvel or DC Captain Carrot?
Captain Carrot is DC.
Okay. Captain Carrot movie. Sony, there it is. There's your original.
You know what's really sad is you asked me and I went, oh, yeah, that's DC. I've kissed the girl and yes. I'm surprised.
Yes. You're living with a girl. Congratulations.
I am living with a girl. Yeah. I'm living with an amazing girl.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised at that too.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I agree that she's amazing, and I agree that it's surprising. It's not surprising.
No. You can agree to both and no harm, no foul. It's all good.
All right. I think we really covered some great territory tonight. And if you have any feedback on the stuff that we talked about, please give it to us. galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. That's the email. Voicemail is area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Call that number and leave a message. Also, you can do what former guest geek on this podcast, Daryl, did. He actually commented on the podcast post on Google+. We post the shows on our social platforms like Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. He actually commented on last week's episode, and we were talking about Doctor Who and the whole Clara. Will she be leaving after the Christmas episode? Will she not? Is she going to continue on with the first half? That's the story, at least. The first half of next season, she's going to stay on for a while. And Daryl says, I would like to see Clara disappear. She's hogged the show for too long. I don't mind if she leaves in tears, vaporized, or trapped with a dashing space captain. He just wants Clara off the show. Thank you very much, Daryl. Hey, don't hold back, Daryl. Tell us how you really feel.
And you know what adds extra weight to that? He lives in the UK.
Yes. So, and that's where Doctor Who is king. That's where Doctor Who takes place. It's where it's originated from. So he knows what he's talking about. All right. I'm sorry, Matt. That's the last time that we'll mention Doctor Who on this particular episode. From now on, this point until the end of the show, no more Doctor Who talk. I promise.
Probably a good thing that the show's almost over, huh?
Hey, thanks for joining us on this edition of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. You can follow us on Google+, Twitter, and Facebook. You can subscribe to us by going to our website, galacticnetcasts.com, and click on the subscribe or look for us on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher and the TuneIn Radio app. Just search for the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, and there you go. Subscribe to us those ways. All right. No more Doctor Who talk, I promise.
You said you wouldn't bring it up again. You just brought it up. I feel like you owe me something.
Okay. Before we get out of here, let's talk about one thing that you want to talk about before we leave, Matt.
Not Doctor Who. We could talk about anything as long as it's not Doctor Who and I'm cool.
Okay, what are you playing these days? Your gameplay, your video game. What are you playing?
I got Shadow of Mordor and Metro Redux on Black Friday sales. I started smoking crack and playing World of Warcraft, which is potentially a mistake.
Boo!
Boo to what part, Brad? Smoking crack or playing World of Warcraft?
Playing World of Warcraft. What are you thinking?
Well, I get 2 months free, and the game was $5. Yeah. So if
first taste is free, then you got to pay, Matthew.
Well, it's really nothing special, so I feel like I'll probably get a guy upper level, maybe 90. I don't plan on buying the expansion because it's still $50. So I might get like level 90 and then just be like, okay, and stop. It's like every other MMO I have ever played, like Guild Wars and Neverwinter. It's the same damn thing. It's just World of War, or it's just Warcraft.
So you want something? You want something different and special. That's what you're looking for in your MMO.
I would, well, yeah, but an MMO is an MMO. It's go talk to this guy, pick up this quest, go kill 9 of this things, return and get your experience. There's also the $15 price tag per month that I really can't get behind.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No. All right. I'll get my 2 months out of it and see, but that's it.
All right. And that ends video game talk with Matt Stein. Thank you, Matt Stein. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. I call this meeting adjourned. Hang on 1 second. I got to play this one, too. You're out of order, and you're out of order, and you're out of order, and you're out of order. Okay, that's it for the show. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll talk to you
Bye,
next
Dad.
Week. Matt?
No, I said bye, Dad. There was a big question mark on it because you successfully lost your fish right there.
Okay. You have been listening to a presentation of GalacticNetcasts.com. For more about the show you just listened to, including how to subscribe, give us feedback, links to our social feeds, and more, please visit www.GalacticNetcasts.com.